Good morning, everyone. It is April 11th. This is a work session of the Portland City Council. Colleagues, today we're discussing my proposed spring supplemental budget, also known as the spring budget monitoring process. Nobody calls it that. We just call it the bump. In light of the pandemic's economic impacts on both the city and the community, I directed bureaus to limit their requests to necessary changes to end this year on budget or to meet an urgent community need in light of the ongoing COVID-19 crisis. I also asked bureaus to return unneeded general fund resources to give us more spending flexibility as we build the budget for the fiscal year 21-22. I want to give a shout out to our excellent bureau directors and their teams. They've continued to manage their operations and their finances, I think, very thoughtfully and flexibly throughout the challenges and the uncertainties of the last year. Once again, our city leaders have stepped up, and I know it hasn't always been easy. They greatly limited their requests, and several bureaus even returned resources to our general fund. Before Director Kennard takes us through the details of the proposed package, I want to call your attention just to a couple of items in this supplemental budget. Last week, we approved a landmark $6 million initiative to address the crisis of gun violence in our community. My proposal reflects the entirety of that investment. My proposal also funds a position to help staff the transition to the new police oversight body, which was approved by Portland voters. I'm funding this immediately to ensure that the work can begin without any delay, and I look forward to learning more about how this work will proceed in the next fiscal year and beyond. In the same vein, I have appropriated $150,000 to fund an outside investigation of our police bureau's culture. This independent look will help us learn more about where they are and how we can evolve to continue to meet the community's needs and expectations in ways that build and sustain trust. My proposed bump also takes significant and urgent action to begin cleaning up our city and making it a safer and welcoming place for everyone. And I'm proposing just over $1 million to support community-led initiatives to help clean and activate our public spaces as we lay the groundwork for a safe, sustainable reopening, hopefully sooner rather than later. The proposal also includes $100,000 to support events that foster public discussion, education, and cohesion about racial justice, accessibility for all ages and abilities, and tribal sovereignty and other issues, including the continuing discussion around Black Lives Matter. And so with that, I'll turn this over to Director Jessica Kennard, the City Budget Director, to walk us through the details. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning, Mayor, and thank you for that introduction, and good morning, members of Council and Budget Advisors. Again, for the record, my name is Jessica Kennard. I'm the City's Budget Director. I'm here virtually today with Michelle Rubin and Robert Cheney, who coordinate our supplemental and bump processes in the budget office. And we're going to be walking through today with you, as the mayor mentioned, we'll be walking through the mayor's proposed bump ordinance. Because of the condensed timeline related to this, this process, we actually had to file the mayor's proposed bump this morning. And so that's what we'll be discussing today. And council will be hearing it next Wednesday on the 21st. So the purpose of today's meeting is really to talk about what's in the mayor's proposed, what's not in the mayor's proposed, answer any questions that you might have, and just have a discussion as we look towards the bump hearing next week. So in terms of a run of show, I will begin by providing a high-level summary of the supplemental budget process and the changes that we typically consider as part of this process. We'll then review general fund requests, followed by non-general fund notable changes. I'll then highlight any changes in position authority. There are very few included in the bump this year. And then I'll close with reviewing where our general fund contingency stands based upon the mayor's proposed supplemental budget. As with other work sessions, this is intended to be a conversation, and we can pause for discussion or questions at any time. We will also have time for more robust discussion after I review the information. Our office is able to help facilitate any follow-up on questions and answers as needed so that council has all the information that you need to make decisions for next week. And then a note on timing, we are doing this, taking up this spring bump simultaneously with discussions around next year's budget. And what we're talking about today, when we talk about the bump, we're talking about the current year budget. So the fiscal year 2021 budget. We're not specifically discussing changes to next year's budget today. However, there's one way in which these two budget processes interact. I'll talk a little bit more about that. And that's primarily through carryover of resources from one year to the next via program carryovers. So we'll talk about that category of expense a little bit more. With that, I am going to share my screen and pull up a visual presentation.
Jessica, while you're doing that, you know, I'm sure this isn't exactly a ratings bombshell event, but for those who might be tuned into this, the fiscal year, just to be clear, is between now and the end of June, just so people know what we're talking about. We're talking about a very short period, March through June.
Thank you, Mayor. That is a very helpful, helpful context. I already talked through that this is, you know, the agenda for today. And to the mayor's point, the spring bump, what we're talking about today is primarily focused on ending the year in balance. We have three supplemental budget processes or bumps that we go through every year, and they predominantly are technical in nature, and they all are geared at different things based upon the time of year that we undertake that effort. So in the spring, we're really looking forward, we're projecting out, we're monitoring our expenses, we're projecting out to the end of the year. We want to be making sure that we have all of our ducks in a row and we're preparing to end the year on budget. So there's a handful of technical changes and requests that we entertain as part of this process. So a big one is, as I mentioned before, we do entertain requests for carryovers for unspent programmatic funding. So within the general fund, particularly, we have sort of a use it or lose it policy. And that's because we manage the general fund centrally. Our office is in charge of managing it, and we allocate general fund resources to a handful of bureaus across the city. If bureaus do not spend their general fund by the end of the year, it falls to ending balance, our central ending balance in that we manage centrally. So that money is removed from bureau budgets. So what bureaus may do is if they have funding for, particularly for one-time projects that they don't anticipate being able to complete in one year, so they'll take action in the spring bump to take money out of the current year's budget, and we'll budget it in next year's budget to make sure that they have the funding through next fiscal year to complete that originally intended project. So there are a handful of carryover requests that we'll be looking at today. There are also requests that non-general fund bureaus do that are similar in nature, but because they manage their own funds, there's not the same sort of request and approval process that we go through. Those are more technical changes. If they manage their own funds, they fall to ending balance. They can rebudget them without necessarily having to go through this more elevated process. But we'll talk about some notable non-general fund changes as well. Of course, we will make technical adjustments. A lot of these are sort of true ups among sort of different types of expenses to make sure our budgets are accurately reflecting how bureaus are spending their resources. General fund bureaus request what's called compensation set aside. We'll be looking at a couple of these requests. Every year, the city budget office budgets resources related to wage increases, COLA cost of living adjustment increases, and healthcare cost increases. And we budget that centrally with an allocation for each individual general fund bureau associated with their personnel, their general fund back personnel costs. And in the spring, if bureaus have been fully staffed throughout the course of the year, the expectation is that they will need this resource in order to remain on budget through the end of the year. And so they come and ask for resources in the spring. Typically, not every bureau requires this allocation in the spring because they have vacancies or attrition or other savings throughout the year that allow them to manage within their existing budget. But when bureaus request these resources in the spring, they're typically fairly technical in nature, and CBO typically recommends for these requests. And there are a couple of them that we'll talk about as well, included in the spring bump. Finally, we recognize unbudgeted revenue. So this is another sort of a true up. In a lot of non-general fund bureaus, they'll recognize grant funding, they might recognize bond sale revenue, and then they might true up sort of their ending balance and their beginning balance from a prior year. And then finally, we do entertain certain requests for general fund contingency resources, particularly for urgent and unforeseen needs or to prevent year-end underspend or overspending rather. So this spring, the mayor did issue spring guidance. This is actually the second time that the mayor's issued spring guidance. It's fairly unusual to submit guidance for the bump processes, but the mayor has undertaken this since the start of COVID-19 as we've had to more actively and closely manage our financial resources. And so the mayor did issue spring bump guidance to bureaus, and it asked that new requests for general fund be limited to requests that solve for the concern that the bureau may not end the year within budget or for meeting urgent community need related to the COVID-19 crisis. In relation to general fund carryovers, the mayor asked that those requests either fund one-time requests as made as part of the Bureau's current year requested, made as part of the Bureau's requested budget for next year. So this would help sort of solve for some of our needs for resources next year, or continue one-time work that was funded in the current year, but not completed. In terms of the timeline, it's very fast. We did some initial briefings with council offices last week. We released our reviews on Friday. We are filing the mayor's bump right now as we speak. And then we, of course, are having our work session at this moment as well. And we'll be having our hearing next week. And so there's a little arrow in between there. And that the significance of that is that, you know, commissioners would like to offer, once we hear about what's in the mayor's proposed supplemental budget, commissioners and the mayor as well have the opportunity to offer amendments at the hearing next week. And CBO will help craft those amendments. There's certain specific technical language that needs to be included by sort of Oregon statute to actually technically move the money where you want it to go. So if you're interested in offering an amendment, we are happy to help you craft any language that you would like to bring forward next week. All right, so now I'm gonna share a different screen. I'm gonna ask one of my wonderful bump coordinators, Robert, to pull up a walkthrough of our general fund packages. While he does that, I'm gonna pause. Before we start walking through these packages, I wanna see if there's any questions related to the process, either for today or generally for the spring bump. Okay, great. All right, so I'm just pulling up my notes here. Give me one moment, managing a few different screens. All right. Okay, so we're starting with our new general fund requests. These are requests predominantly to draw on general fund contingency. Again, what you're looking at here, what you see here is the bureau that made the bureau, which has the allocation, the name of the package, how much the Bureau requested, and what is included in the mayor's proposed on the far right. Yes, so
can I interrupt just for a second?
Yeah.
Because you say it comes out of general fund contingency, and that's, of course, absolutely correct. But where it really comes from is these are funds that could alternatively be used to balance our budget next year, right? So isn't that factually accurate? Isn't that really the trade-off here?
Yes, absolutely, Mayor. So the trade-off is, the general fund contingency is available. We budget it centrally every year to address what we refer to as urgent and unforeseen needs during the course of the year. And anything that is determined not to be necessary for urgent needs in the current year can be used to solve for budget challenges or fund budget priorities in next year's budget. So at this time of year, as we're looking and we're projecting out towards the end of the year, if we have a significant pool of contingency resources available, council could make a decision at this point while you're looking at next year's budget, you could make a decision to allocate some of the current year contingency resources that you don't think you'll need to next year's budget. So absolutely, Mayor, that is a good
point. I just wanted people to have some context and understand why sometimes I may appear cheap when we have, quote, contingency reserves left, but in fact, that can be important to balancing next year's budget.
Yes, we are actively looking at both at all sources, as you know, Mayor, to help balance next year's budget. Yes, Commissioner Ryan.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks, Jessica. Director Kennard, rather. Hey, what is that total contingency resources? What is that total number at this time? The mayor's comments made me want to know that answer.
Yes. So what we have in contingency right now, we started this process. Let's see, I'm going to pull up my notes. We started the process with about, there were a few different contingency accounts that we had. We started the process with a little over $600,000 of unrestricted contingency. We also had about $2.3 million available in compensation set aside to fund those cost personnel related cost increases in bureaus. And then we had a couple of weeks ago, we had about $6.3 million in our stability reserve. But as council knows that, council prioritized that resource for the urgent need to address address violence prevention. And so the stability reserve has about $360,000 remaining in it after the allocation was made last week to address violence. So all told, I believe that's around, it's just shy of $3 million in terms of total contingency accounts leading up to the spring bump.
Okay. Yeah, I got 2.9. Got it. All right. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And we'll walk through, after we walk through all of the changes that are being proposed, we'll walk through sort of that, what the balance remains after assuming the changes that are included in the mayor's proposed budget. Supplemental budget, that is. All right, so you see the first one here is with the Office of the City Attorney, is the request is for $150,000 to for the attorney's office to handle the city's contract with the outside consultant OIR group, which is expected to investigate racial bias, political bias, and resistance to change in the police bureau. The final written report is expected to be issued in December 2021. And as I walk through each of these line items, please jump in if you have a question. The second item is a request for $30,000 in one-time general fund resources to continue legal support for survivors of domestic violence who are concerned about their immigration status. The city and the county have each provided an additional allocation to the Gateway Center beyond the intergovernmental agreement that we already have for this purpose in each of the last two fiscal years, and that is included in the mayor's proposed budget. And when I say proposed budget in this context, we're talking about supplemental, the bump. This request is for the next item is for also a special appropriations. It's for Cash Organ. It's for $30,000 in one-time general fund to allow Cash Organ to keep its Lloyd Center tax preparation local option through July 15th instead of through April 15th. As we know, the federal tax deadline was extended. And Cash Organ provides free tax prep assistance to low-income Portlanders. This year's tax season is more complex than usual due to federal stimulus payments, the economic downturn, and providing services remotely. The next item is a request for $5,343 in new one-time general fund resources to begin the process of hiring a limited-term position to staff the Police Oversight Commission. And this commission will determine the rules and policies for a new police oversight body passed by voters in November of 2020. The reason why this is a small dollar value is because we're just addressing the amount that's needed this fiscal year. So as the mayor mentioned, it's just for May and June, essentially. And this will be another issue that will be taken up as part of the proposed and approved budget for the continued funding for this work. We can have a conversation about this. I know this is something that I think council may be interested in talking about a little bit more in terms of the construction of this position and this role. The way that it's proposed right now is the funding is going to special appropriations. And I know there's been some conversation, some allusion to this sort of maybe being set up to mirror the way that the Charter Commission is supported. Let's see. So the next item is from Prosper Portland. They're requesting $4,150 in one-time resources for shared revenues for the six neighborhood prosperity network districts to support community-based development projects. The requested amount trues up the estimate that was included in their adopted budget, and it's a contractual obligation. So it's something that we need to do, and it's not TIF eligible. The next item is an item that came through as part of the mayor's proposed budget. It's to fill a current year funding gap for and restore funding for Venture Portland. Venture Portland, as a combination of both the ongoing reduction that the city took of around 5% this year, which was mitigated partially by Prosper Portland by providing lower administrative charges. They ended up in the current year with sort of a funding gap of about $12,000. This restores that funding gap to sort of the last year's level of funding. The next three items are all from the Bureau of Emergency Communications, and these are not draws on contingency. The Bureau is actually proposing to fund this by recognizing ending balance from last year as new beginning balance in this year. The reason why we put them in this category is we did want to highlight them because if the Bureau had not recognized the beginning balance internally, that money could come back to the general fund. But these are projects that certainly the City Budget Office recommended continuing and the mayor has included in his proposed bump. So the first one is a request to continue work on the console replacement project to the tune of $977,000, and also continue work on the ProQA integrated dispatch system project. The funds, these funds could be returned to the general fund, but the projects are currently in progress and they align with council priorities, and they're pretty important to doing all of the work that council is looking to do related to community safety improvements. The next item is a request for funding to pay for expenses related to the Bureau's 911 phone line using CenturyLink and GoCerco. Apparently because of the economic toll that COVID-19 has had on state and city resources, the state could no longer help subsidize these costs for the Bureau. So this is sort of backfilling a cost that used to be subsidized. So the Bureau is also supporting that with sort of by recognizing this new beginning fund balance. The final one from the Bureau of Emergency Communication is a request for required CAD work that needs to occur to be able to fully realize the benefits of this new ProQA dispatch system. So this is connected sort of in some ways to the first system, which is sort of the linchpin to a lot of the new triage work and sort of overall community safety dispatch work that the city is looking to undertake. Any questions on any of those? Okay. The next item is the next three items are related to the work that I think the mayor spoke to a little bit in his introductory remarks. The first item includes $100,000 that will be provided as grants to BIPOC-led organizations and artists to plan to implement community events that activate spaces across the city. And it also includes $75,000 for Pioneer Square. The next item is also a $175,000 proposal. It'll fund enhanced maintenance services in the Portland parks in support of citywide cleanup goals and community events. Resources will fund two additional roving crews of seasonal maintenance workers who will focus on litter and debris pickup, trash removal, graffiti cleanup, restroom cleaning, and beautification projects. And then finally, the last item is $750,000 that will support the Clean and Green citywide cleanup project led by Solve in partnership with the City of Portland. The project will organize weekly high impact volunteer cleanups to restore and enhance Portland neighborhoods, public spaces, watersheds, and critical habitats. Yes, Commissioner Mapps.
You might get to this later, but I'm curious to know if the budget office has recommendations either for or against these proposals.
So proposals that come in after the requested budget, we typically don't issue, we haven't had time to analyze or issue recommendations.
Okay, thank you very much.
So in total, while that total line at the bottom, it says $3.24 million, because those BOIC packages are actually funded by new beginning balance, the total draw on contingency resources is actually 1.34 million of these new requests. All right, I'm going to move to the next category. And again, we will, if you're making notes and thinking through types of questions or discussion you might want to have, we can certainly have that at the end of going through this document. So the next category is this compensation set aside. These are funds, again, that are set aside and managed centrally by our office that have actually a specific allocation that each bureau is eligible to receive if they're trending towards spending all of their personnel resources. And so we received two requests from the Fire Bureau and from the Police Bureau for their full allocation. This was for money that was set aside for their bureau specifically for this purpose. Both bureaus are on track to overspend their personnel budgets. We don't expect them to overspend their entire budgets. They have ways that they can mitigate, they are planning to mitigate those resources, but they are fully spending down their personnel budgets. And so this is an appropriate request, and the CBO has recommended for these and the mayor has included them. And so the total of this would be a $1.37 million draw on our compensation set aside account, which leaves a balance of just under $1 million in that account. All right, the next category, while it's called contingency, the new requests are the ones that draw on our general fund contingency accounts. These are drawing on different sort of policy set aside or different types of contingency accounts that we have. So the first one is a request to draw on a set aside that council had created. So council reserved $250,000 in a policy set aside starting in fiscal year 2019-20 to pay for outside counsel to support the PPA bargaining process. So to date, the attorney's office has expended $79,000 of the original $250,000, and they're requesting an additional $50,000 from the set aside for the expenses that they have incurred between October of 2020 and March of 2021. The next item is somewhat similar. The Fire Bureau requested $50,000, and they actually requested general fund resources to support the costs of arbitration work with the Portland Firefighters Association. It's currently expected to occur in June, this arbitration work. But the arbitration is expected to settle issues with citywide labor implications. So the cost is covered where the city budget office recommended that the cost be covered by that same set aside, that sort of legal set aside that council created. And the mayor's proposed reflects that recommendation. So the next item was an original request that actually has been withdrawn. This is a set aside that was created in the adopted budget last year. Council set aside $1 million of ongoing general fund for participatory budgeting with houseless communities. And initially a request was submitted by Commissioner Hardesty's office to allocate those resources, but that request has been withdrawn, and this resource remains in contingency and policy set aside contingency for council allocation. Then the final item would move $555,000 from Parks General Fund contingency and move it to their personal services expenditures. So this was an item that the council took up in the fall bump. You may recall that the Parks Bureau incurred a very large amount, well, $555,000 of unemployment costs as a result of the layoffs, the seasonal layoffs that they incurred when COVID-19 hit in the spring of last year. And because those expenses were not didn't hit the books until the close of the fiscal year, they lost the funding that they would have had in the general fund to pay for those expenses. So council in the fall set aside $555,000, and we gave it to the Parks Bureau, but we put it in a contingency account in the Parks Bureau, so they can't access it without council authorization to access those resources. So they've come and they've requested access to those resources now, and it is actually included in the mayor's proposed. This says zero because the package balances revenues and expenditures to zero, and it's sort of an internal transfer within the Parks Bureau to allocate this $555,000 from their contingency to their personnel expenses, but it is that draw is included in the mayor's proposed. All right, next we are going to go to our program carryovers. So the first is a program carryover within the Office of the City Attorney. It's a carryover of unspent resources to continue working on software and technology needs in the office. They had resources that have been appropriated a couple of years ago and that they've carried over. I think this is the second year now for this allocation for software and technology needs. And this is something that, you know, we've talked about with the Bureau and with other bureaus about the need to create sort of technology reserves. This isn't, I think CBO recommended this, the technology and software upgrades are needed. I think in the future, we'll want to look towards creating sort of a stable reserve so that we're not just funding this on an annual basis with whatever underspending we have. But for the time being, this is necessary software and technology needs for the attorney's office. So the carryover request is included. The next item is within the Bureau of Emergency Management. They're requesting to carry over $90,000 in projected underspending to fund three grants which were $30,000 each to community-based organizations that have been working with the Emergency Coordination Center. The grants would be used for recovery efforts, which may include direct assistance to low-income households or culturally specific training on resilience and community health during the COVID-19 recovery phase. And that is included in the mayor's proposed. The next item is a request from Fire and Rescue to carry over funding for the purchase of a van with Portland Street Response. The purchase was planned for the current year, but they'll not be able to complete the purchase by the end of the fiscal year. So the carryover complements the fiscal year 21-22 requested budget for street response, which would cover the purchase of these of additional five vans. This is actually the sixth van that the Bureau intends to purchase. The next item is from the Office of Government Relations. They're requesting to carry over $60,000 of general fund to complete their 2021 through 2025 strategic plan. Given capacity constraints within the current and previous fiscal year, the office was unable to complete its strategic planning purposes. Of course, they also have a new director that is looking to undertake this work, and they're not able to get in, to encumber these funds before the end of the year. So they've started the process, and they're developing a request for proposal, but they're requesting this resource to be carried over to make sure that they can complete that strategic planning process. The next item is a request to carry over $250,000 in general fund one time to fund software implementation that was initially planned as part of the 311 build out, as well as the PDX building call center, a Portland building call center. The program was appropriated this money, $100,000 rather, in the current fiscal year for a software tool to log contracts with community members and intake route and track the status of the request. And the software selection implementation is expected to begin in fiscal year 21-22. So they're requesting that carryover because it just hasn't happened yet. Secondly, the 311 program was supposed to receive $150,000 one-time adjustment in next year's CAL, which would have been next year's base budget. And CBO, I think, saw that they were not anticipating spending their full allocation this year, and so suggested that they self-fund that portion through this carryover. So this is another way that we're sort of saving some resources in next year's budget by identifying underspending in the current year that can go towards next year's needs. The next item carries over $122,969 in one-time resources that were received by the Bureau of Human Resources last fall to ensure the city was ready to be compliant with Oregon's Equal Pay Act or the pay equity law. They have not, the Bureau was not able to fully expend those resources. So they're asking to reappropriate underspending and put it towards continued work in next fiscal year, and that is included. The Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services requests to carry over $175,000 of unspent general fund resources to fund a financial analyst position in their grants management division. And this position will continue working on the management closeout and audit specifically of the CARES funds and the CARES allocations. The next item is also from the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. They request to carry over $94,000 for the Clean Air Construction Program, as the city's IGA with other jurisdictions on the program states that we shall carry this over. So it's a requirement of the IGA. The next item is related to procurement. It's related to social equity and contracting work within the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. So during the current budget development process, $200,000 in general fund resources were carried over from last year as bridge funding for the Community Opportunities and Enhancement Project and the Prime Contractor Development Program. And another $200,000 was carried over as partial funding for a new disparity study. So heading into this year, council authorized a carryover of a total of $400,000. BRFS is requesting to fully carry over the $200,000 for the bridge funding and a portion of the funding for the disparity study, about $105,000, to fund future revisions and refinements to the city's social equity and contracting programs after a February work session on the topic, during which council directed OMF to come up with recommendations for improving the program. This is not included. This was one that CBO, when we evaluated it, it didn't have a level of specificity around sort of what it was intended to fund and the scope of what it intended to fund for it to merit sort of a CBO recommendation, but is certainly an item that council may want to discuss, assuming if council wants to ensure that this work has a pool of funding available to move forward on some of the work that was discussed in February. You can choose to allocate this carryover. You may also choose to take it up at a later time, say in the fall bump, once more information is available around what the recommended course of action is. The next item is from the Office of Community and Civic Life. It's a carryover for $1.5 million in one-time general fund discretionary resources. And also, you're just seeing the general fund portion on this, but in addition, there's $1.9 million in ongoing recreational cannabis tax resources that they're requesting to carry over. The resources were allocated to Civic Life in the fall bump of last year for a community budgeting process with Reimagine Oregon and several other city bureaus. The process is still in development, and we don't anticipate the process to begin before the end of the fiscal year, so we're requesting these resources to be carried over so that work can be fully funded in the next fiscal year. The Office of Community and Civic Life also is requesting to carry over $32,450. And the reason why it shows up zero in the request is that there was some back and forth during the requested phase, but this was submitted as a request by Civic Life. It's to cover the cost of moving the East Portland Community Office out of their current Water Bureau owned space into a new office space. And the Civic Life anticipates the move happening next fiscal year once the new space for the office has been identified. There is a relationship between this ask and something was requested in the budget for next year, but you may recall when Director Reese spoke about Civic Life's request, she actually withdrew a request for rent support for this office and instead is submitting this request to sort of self-fund the move costs through underspending and carryover. So that is included. The Office of Community and Civic Life is also requesting to carry over $70,000 of general fund resources for a strategic planning process that would build on an organizational assessment that is currently underway. The strategic planning process would focus on implementation and recommendations from their organizational assessment. All right, we've got, four or five left, stick with me. So the Office of Equity and Human Rights is requesting to reduce appropriation to its equity and policy practice area and carry over those resources on a one-time basis to support their equity strategies analyst position, to allow that position that they've created to continue developing and implementing work for the city's COVID-19 relief and recovery effort, and also support phase two implementation of citywide Bureau racial equity plans. Portland Parks and Recreation is requesting to carry over a little over $300,000 to continue supporting their sustainable futures position. Council authorized, as part of the approved budget last year, council authorized a carryover of just under $360,000 specifically to fund 2 years of a sustainable futures position as part of budget development. But it was also discussed as part of it came through as an amendment to the budget. And it was talked about as this being a position that was going to identify a resource by which it could be self-funded on a more permanent basis. They noted that the funding source for the position was intending to identify a new external revenue source that was going to fund this position in perpetuity. And the position was converted to permanent knowing that a new funding source would be made available. And when and then voters did approve in November 2020 the levy, which can be used as a source to fund this position on an ongoing basis, so that that carryover is not included in the mayor's proposed, and that money, all else being equal, will fall to general fund balance. The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability is requesting to carry over $210,000 in general fund resources for continued work on the FEMA floodplain regulation update project. BPS received $260,000 last fall for this project, and they're currently hiring for the project, but they'll not be finished with the project by year end. So they're requesting to carry over this balance to complete the project next year. Also, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability is requesting $100,000 in program carryover for continued work on the age-friendly program. This work plan was put on hold as its manager focused on COVID-19 impacts to older adults at the Emergency Coordination Center. So the funds will allow BPS to deliver on the original intent of the project as it was originally funded in 2019-20. And then finally, there's a request from the Charter Commission to carry over $92,000 in anticipated underspending to support the process, and the resources will support its activities heading into next year. Yes, Commissioner Mapps.
Are you, I don't want to shut you off.
Nope, that was it. That was my last line.
Great. Can we return to the OAMF request for around procurement and social equity?
Yes.
That carryover?
Yes.
We've had, I think, at least one work session where we talked about how important this work is. It seems like it's a high priority to be more equitable in our contracting. I'm just trying to get my brain around how we make progress on that issue if we don't fund it. How does this work get done?
Commissioner, was that a question for your colleagues, or is it directed at anybody in particular?
I don't know. Is there someone equipped to answer that question?
I think we might have somebody on the line from the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. I'm going to check with my team. Team, do we have anybody on the line that could speak to the Bureau's need for this resource?
That's okay, we can revisit it another day.
Hi, this is, I'm sorry, I'm trying to get my camera on. This is Kathleen Brennus-Marua, Interim Chief Procurement Officer. And it would be difficult to be as aggressive in our plans to make changes to our programs without this funding. While we haven't identified precisely how we would use the funding, as we're still pulling together a work plan on how best to approach the community engagement, the public involvement needed to identify where we can strengthen the programs, where changes are needed. We will do, you know, with our currently, you know, staffed resources, work with community partners. But we will not, it will hinder us from being as aggressive as possibly we could be without having additional funding for being able to contract additional resources to help us through these efforts.
Do you have a sense of when your plan for how these dollars might be spent will be ready for to share?
So we are working on pulling together a work plan right now and making those decisions. We hope to have those identified in July, possibly before the end of this fiscal year. But we're, you know, we are in those planning phases right now. We have discussed potential public involvement assistance. Rather than a disparity study, we've considered doing some sort of availability analysis as well. But those are conversations that we're having currently.
Okay, thank you very much. I just want to make the observation that this project has been a high priority for council, and it seems unfortunate that we are not able to fund it. Thank you.
Commissioner Ryan.
Thank you, Director Kennard. And we're in this category, so that's why I'm asking a question why we're on this slide. When you look at the Office of Civic Life and the $1.5 million for community budgeting, could someone define what community budgeting means in this circumstance? And it usually starts with how we define the word community. So I would need to hear that.
Yeah, I can take a stab at it because we were one of the bureaus that was directed to work on this in partnership with Civic Life. And I'll scan the call briefly and see if we have somebody else from Civic Life that might be able to join in. So this was directed as part of the fall bump. There was this allocation totaled, I think, $3.4 million, including $1.9 million of cannabis funds and $1.5 million of general fund resources. And community actually, it was defined very broadly. And the intent is actually for Reimagine Oregon to lead this process. And I've hesitated to use the term participatory budgeting as a word associated with this allocation, because that can mean a lot of different things and look a lot of different ways for different people. And really the intent of this allocation was to allow Reimagine Oregon to define how they wanted to see this, both the process and how the resources are allocated. And part of the reason why the money hasn't been expended yet is because Reimagine Oregon has been extremely busy this year and they've been working on staffing up. And so once they are staffed and ready to go, we'll be ready to work with them on how they'd like to see this resource deployed.
But it didn't define the neighborhood associations as part of the community budgeting?
The community that is being focused on is through Reimagine Oregon and specifically Portland's Black community. Any other questions? Okay. All right. The next category is called returns to the general fund. These are areas where the mayor mentioned that as part of his guidance, he asked bureaus, if possible, if they identified any general fund underspending, if they could return them those resources to the general fund at this point in time, could help solve for some of our budget needs. And a handful of bureaus responded to this call, and I want to also extend my thanks and gratitude to our financial managers and our bureau leaders for adhering to the guidance. And so as a result of this financial management and the decision to return money to the general fund, we have an additional $531,000 that's being returned to our contingency. Other adjustments, these are items that are primarily sort of true ups and technical adjustments. The first item is through debt management. They're making adjustments to reflect revisions to costs related to lines of credit and other debt paid to the general fund. The second item does have a nexus with next year's budget. It's part of our balancing strategy, and CBO's recommended balance strategy for next year was recognizing resource that was available as sort of excess contingency for software replacement projects in the Office of Management and Finance, and recognizing a $2 million sort of available balance that is going to help us close next year's budget gap. So this action takes that money out of the current year budget and puts it in our sort of a set aside to make sure that we can use it to help balance next year's budget. The next item is a request from Parks and Recreation to move essentially $700,000 of fleet expenses from their general fund budget to their construction fund budget to fund their current year fleet purchases. So we've had a few years whereby the Parks Bureau is in the middle of purchasing vehicles or making fleet purchases, and then is disrupted by the end of the fiscal year. They lose the funding to purchase their vehicles, and then they have to ask for it back the next year. So this is the process that we've come up with the Bureau to make sure that they can retain the resource to continue the purchase of those vehicles, and it's not disrupted by the end of the fiscal year. So there's a number of vehicles that they're in the process of funding, and this will just ensure that the resources stay with them and so that they can complete those purchases. And then finally, special appropriations is making some technical adjustments to the city's COVID emergency budget, primarily in the grants fund. The adjustments ensure that the city's properly budgeting resources to take advantage of FEMA reimbursement for eligible expenses. And so they're just transferring money and sort of cleaning the budget up in relation to the CARES allocation and our emergency response budget. So those are the general fund items. I want to pause and have some conversation. The next item that we'll walk through after this will be I'll highlight a couple of non-general fund changes that might be notable or of interest. I want to pause and see if there's any other questions or conversation that council would like to have on this item. Or Frida.
This is more for an earlier one. I wanted to listen to everything first. In regard to the independent contractor to review the police bureau's environment, it's more of a suggestion because I know a police officer who resigned probably a good 5 years ago. And I want to make sure that when they're doing that assessment, they're not just looking at and talking with current employees or recent resignations because of everything that's going on, but why earlier ones left because of the environment that the police, within the police bureau. Because I think it's important to understand the long-term issues that have been going on. So it's more a suggestion to make sure that contract includes earlier resignations as well.
Okay, thanks, Frida. I saw Sam Adams from the mayor's staff is on the line giving his thumbs up. So I think you've been heard. Any other questions? Okay.
Actually,
all right. Oh, yes. Yeah, of course.
Quick one. Can we return? I think it was early in your presentation, the new police oversight commission.
Yes.
Maybe we can go back to that one.
Look at
that.
Yes. Yes. Robert, would you mind pulling up the PDF again, please? Yeah, so this was an allocation. It's for a relatively small dollar value because we wouldn't anticipate that we would be hiring somebody and able to pay them for much more than a couple of months before the fiscal year ends. But it is indicating the start of sort of staffing support for this commission that will ultimately determine the rules and the structure of the oversight body that was approved by Portland voters. Yes, happy to facilitate a conversation amongst the council around this.
Sure, I'm just curious to know where this position is gonna be housed. Do we know? Has that decision been made?
So I think it's open for the council. The proposal indicated, you know, that it could look like the Charter Review Commission, in which case it would be funded out of special appropriations, but the position would be housed out of the Chief Administrative Officer's office. Okay. So that's one proposal that's on the table. And so I think, you know, if the council had thoughts about that, I'm sure it would be helpful to hear those thoughts now.
I'm open and I look forward to this discussion. It'd be helpful to me to have some framework for how we should think about this. And if I can build on the question, I'm also curious about how this position interacts with our community safety transition director. Has that been sorted out yet?
So I'm hearing from Kristen Johnson in the chat that the decision has not been made and that Commissioner Hardesty's office, who was the originator of this request, is open to ideas from other offices. So it sounds like there can be and should be maybe some continued conversation with all council offices around where this position will end up and how it will interact with the positions that you just mentioned, Commissioner.
Great, thank you very much.
Yeah, and there was a comment that this position will likely need to be independent from all community safety bureaus.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Commissioner Ryan.
Yes, thank you, Director Kennard. I actually was going to ask a similar question to Commissioner Mapps. I'm glad, thank you for bringing that up, Commissioner Mapps. It is a big deal to make sure that we land that the staffing for that in the right objective place. And I'm looking at the chat, and I would agree from what I'm hearing from Kristen. And I also think it needs to stay out of an elected official's office. So my two follow-up questions are about, you know, three of our top priorities. One is community safety. And it looks like we, of course, should be a full body when we have this conversation, but I appreciate Commissioner Mapps bringing it up. On another big deal topic, of course, is the cleanup line item at $750,000. And to that point, I just want to stress, I would love to see the details of the expenditures. And as the mayor knows, we've had many conversations about this, that I want to see how it's connected to jobs for our houseless members. And so subcontracted out with some of our providers, such as Central City Concern, who have a jobs program for our houseless members. So I just want to make sure that we're connecting the dots on that.
This is Sam Adams from the mayor's office, and we can get you those details out. This request includes funding for the core work of SOLVE, and that also includes community-based partners as well. So we'll get you those details.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Sam.
Mayor.
Yeah, just quickly to follow up on Commissioner Mapp's question about where positions are located and Kristen's statement that it hasn't been determined. I would suggest there's enough interest in this question, not just the position, but the program, that we have a work session on that item at some point in the not distant future.
All right, I was seeing another hand. Okay, and Derek, it looked like you had your hand up, but then you put it down. So I think maybe the suggestion of a work session is something that Commissioner Hardesty's office would support as well, and you can let us know in the chat.
I just wanna say real quick that I raised my hand initially to respond to Commissioner Ryan that Commissioner Hardesty is, so we're not intending to have this. We didn't have any discussion about this living in the elected official's office. And I don't believe that's an intention of hers. And then I am happy to bring back the idea of a work session to our team and bring that up with them in the near future.
Thank you, Derek. I appreciate that.
Great. And then Mayor, I think your hand is just still up from before. Do you have another question? All right, so we can come back to any questions that might bubble up as we continue talking about some of the other changes that are in this the supplemental budget. But for the time being, I will move on to the next area of conversation, which is around non-general fund changes. I'll be sharing my screen in a moment, but for right now, I'm just gonna walk through and talk through a couple of the major non-general fund changes. So, the Portland, and these are predominantly sort of technical true-ups between fiscal years of non-general funds that bureaus manage. So the Portland Housing Bureau is truing up beginning fund balance by about $1 million, and the Housing Investment Fund related to a couple of projects, as well as funding in the Tax Increment Financing Reimbursement Fund. These are related to the West Wind project and the Medford project. It's customary in the spring bump. They're also adjusting multi-year affordable housing projects and adjusting budgets across several funds, including for non-general fund programs. let's see, they are also, if you look in the ordinance documents, you'll see sort of a sizable deappropriation that the Housing Bureau is doing. And that's just a technical true up. It's because originally we budgeted $36.5 million in CARES Act resources in the Housing Bureau, but then those resources were subsequently allocated to other bureaus and spent by on other items. And so it's sort of a true up process related to CARES resources. The Bureau of Development Services is truing up their beginning fund balance by $6.4 million in order to create, and I think that's a reduction, to create greater clarity in the Bureau's year-end projections. This is in line with what they're currently projecting. It's also in line with what they're seeing and expecting in next year's budget. The Bureau of Environmental Services is appropriating grants revenues for various projects, as well as almost $123 million in bond revenues to true up the amount of the bond that they issued in November. So this is a large dollar value, but it is part of their planned financing for their large capital projects. And so if folks that are listening see that we have large dollar values that are being recognized in this bump, it's because primarily because of this really large bond financing plan that funds multi-year large capital improvement projects within the Bureau of Environmental Services. The Bureau of Transportation is making several sort of technical adjustments that shows that their projects will require funding to go into next fiscal year for a handful of operating projects, including the Freight Master Plan, plan for redesigning maintenance operations at Kirby facilities, $250,000 that they'll be carrying over for the transportation wallet digital delivery project, amongst other items. They also are reducing their budgeted amount for on-street parking meters to better align with what they're projecting and what they're assuming as part of next year's budget. And they're also decreasing, they're drawing on their contingency by about $2.4 million to fund salary costs of high priority positions. And this is in alignment, it's with truing up was sort of in alignment with their projected budget for next year. The Portland Water Bureau is also revising its budget by moving about $45 million in capital project costs into contingency to more accurately reflect what they're actually projected to expend. These are resources, again, that they're reflecting, they'll be reflecting as likely costs that will be expended next year. They have also, similar to Bureau of Environmental Services, they have a very large capital improvement plan, and Water Bureau especially has some very large projects underway with the Willamette River Crossing Pipeline, as well as the Bull Run Filtration Project. So these costs will be moved into, and they're anticipated and spending this resource in the next, in ensuing fiscal years related to these large projects. And I'm just scanning through my notes. I think those are most of the large technical changes that we are looking at. The Office of Management and Finance and the Bureau of Technology Services is drawing on some funding from their contingency to pay contracted employees for services that they provided to the support center. And the Risk Management Division in Office of Management and Finance is drawing $4 million from the insurance and claims contingency to cover higher claims payouts than what they had originally budgeted. But that is part of their plan. They are planned for it. They have contingency resources and they'll be adjusting their rates accordingly. So that's the summary of non-general fund changes. Let's see, I'm gonna pull up my final slide in just a moment. We also typically go over position changes. There are zero adds or eliminations of positions in the spring bump. There is a request, one position change that's being requested from the Bureau of Planning Sustainability, which is to convert three limited term positions to ongoing permanent positions. Two of them are within the Portland Clean Energy Fund program, so we do know that there's ongoing resource available, and one is a GIS analyst within its technical services program. The PSEF positions were originally created as limited term just because it was a brand new program and the money wasn't coming in yet, but it's now time to create those positions as permanent. All right, so I'm gonna show my screen one more time, which will show where we are at with our contingency accounts. So all told with the mayor's, oops, went to the beginning again. Oh dear. Are you all seeing the mayor's contingency? Okay, great, thank you. I just have a black screen on one side. So with the mayor's proposed spring bump contingency, so this is all accounts, and we have policy set aside accounts that include the money that we have served for our program carryovers. Totals $10.4 million, but the amount that council really cares about is that unrestricted contingency amount. So you'll see that there's about $1 million and $1,065,000 available in unrestricted contingency for current year needs. And then we also have at the very end, you can see our stability reserve, which is also can be treated like unrestricted contingency. There's about $80,000 left in there. So total in terms of flexible resource that council can deploy either in the current year or towards next year's proposals is about a little over $1.1 million. There are also a few items still remaining in policy set aside. One example is the houseless participatory budgeting process. There's a couple of set asides that may or may not be expended in the current year. And if they're not expended in the current year, they are available for reappropriation next year. I think generally speaking, given that we have a little over 2 months left in the fiscal year, we do like to keep a little bit of cushion. And I say we, the city budget office, likes to keep a little bit of cushion in our unrestricted contingency just because unforeseen and urgent needs may arise in the remaining months of the fiscal year. We have one final supplemental budget process. It is the over expenditure ordinance. And that is in June. And that is the last chance to make sure that we don't overexpend our budget. And that is the opportunity if there are sort of additional urgent or unforeseen needs where we would look to deploy these resources. So that concludes my presentation and talking points for today. I will now open it for any conversation around any of the items that we've discussed today. Yes, Commissioner Ryan.
Yeah, thank you, Director Kennard. You said the goal basically is to land this so that we end the year in balance. And so I was trying to follow the numbers, and it's around a little over a million and change. Is that's kind of tight? I don't know. I've never been here before, so tell me, is this about a standard to be at this number at the end of the fiscal year at this time?
It is in terms. Yeah, in terms of our unrestricted contingency, it is fairly standard. I think where I get a little more concerned about ending the year in a tight spot is when we have some of our larger general fund bureaus are looking like they are going to be running really tight on their own budgets. So the fact that police and fire are both running pretty tight is giving me a little bit of pause. But I do think that there's not a lot of time left in the fiscal year. And I feel fairly comfortable that if something were to arise, we would figure out a solution with that $1 million and with other potential solutions that we would look to deploy to get some short-term cash on hand if needed.
Okay. Thank you so much. That was helpful. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as I mentioned in the beginning of the presentation, the next steps are, so we're filing the mayor's proposed supplemental budget. You can see all of the materials and exhibits, and I would draw folks' attention to Exhibit 2 has sort of a narrative description of everything that's in the budget, which is probably the best place to go in a world of tables to figure out exactly what's in the supplemental budget. My office is available to assist any council office if you have questions about what's in the mayor's supplemental budget or the process for making any amendments that you'd like to have considered at the hearing next Wednesday. We'll all gather again on Wednesday. We'll walk through again at a very high level what's in the mayor's proposed budget. And then we will hear testimony and we'll entertain amendments that council would like to propose on the mayor's proposed supplemental. All right, with that, I will turn it over to you, Mayor, for any final remarks and to close us out.
Thank you, everybody. And I appreciate the discussion, and I hope this spring bump meets your needs and expectations. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.